Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, everyone. And Rocco and I both have to apologize for our long absence here. We both had some worlds to conquer away from WCOM, but we're back. So the next shows you'll be hearing coming up quite consistently for quite a while, I'm sure, will actually be live. You won't be hearing recordings of past shows.
Although, it's always good to be on the air, isn't it?
Absolutely. So welcome back. I'm glad you got all your mysteries solved. I've taken care of a few of my own. We've got an interesting show coming up today with Susan King Cope. She is the Director of Development and Special Events with NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Claudio and Rocco. How are you?
Welcome to the Speakeasy. I want to give a quick shout-out to the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, my underwriter for Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theatre. You can see what they've got coming up by going to carolinatheatre.org. They've got all kinds of events, including the final aspects of the Alfred Hitchcock Film Festival, a retrospective on his career. I still want to see if I can make it there in time to go see Frenzy, but that's what's happening with them. So a big shout-out to the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, and you can go to carolinatheatreofdurham.org to catch on with what they've got going on. In the meantime, I'm going to slide over to something I've been looking forward to, actually, because there's too little attention given to, I think, mental illness to a great extent. And we want to kind of take the lid off that and go in some directions with it, discuss it. I know that you originally started working with United Way, and you've had some career pursuits in other directions that finally led you here, Susan. I was just wondering if you could give us a little background before we actually go to NAMI.
Sure. Well, I've spent most of my professional career working with a variety of different nonprofits, like you said, starting off with the United Way, mm-hmm. and learning a lot about corporate America and fundraising and just a lot of the great community supports that our nonprofit sectors offer to us. Mm-hmm. And about 8 years ago, I started working with the American Lung Association, helping people stop smoking, talking about clean air, and really trying to address the needs of kids with asthma and a lot of the different breathing illnesses that are out there.
Just tobacco. There's all sorts of stuff out in the air.
Absolutely. And particulate matter, especially in the South, yes. With all the wonderful pollen that we have, you know, nature's.
Not just that, all the corporations and what they spew forth as well.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we've got fracking knocking on our door, which is something
fracking
I'm totally opposed to.
Fracking is a huge, huge issue right now, but I won't even get into that because I'm sure that there's many people that can speak much more intelligently on that than I can.
Just to step back for a minute, you said that originally you had spent some time with United Way, but you were somewhat turned off to the corporate direction that they were going in. Or did I misunderstand that?
Well, actually, the United Way is very much based in corporate America. They rely very heavily on corporate donors. They go mm-hmm. and they do workplace giving campaigns.
I know when I worked as a lead fire watch for Sharon Harris Nuclear Plant, which it was called then, now it's Progress Energy, that was actually part of where your money went on your paycheck. You could decide whether to support or not. So, yeah, they've got their claws into the corporate.
Absolutely. And it was a great place to be for many years. I worked there for about 14 years, but am much happier working in the smaller nonprofits. NAMI North Carolina is actually very much grassroots driven, and it really relies very heavily on volunteers. We're with the state organization. We have six individuals working at the state organization and a part-time person. Mm-hmm. And then we have 36 local affiliates across the state, which are, for the most part, 100% volunteer-driven.
Wow.
And we do a lot of really great programs and offer free supports to individuals who have mental illness as well as their family members. So
now, when you first joined NAMI, was this an ambition that you had, or were you a little surprised by the doors that opened up to you?
I was really very surprised. I had a friend who contacted me and said that NAMI was actually looking for a development director, and would I be interested in applying for the position? And I said, sure, I'd love to, because I was working with the Lung Association at that time. and wasn't actually as inspired as I thought that I needed to be to continue that work.
And, of course, you hadn't really been a development director up until this point, right?
That's absolutely true. And I wanted to try something new. And so I started working with NAMI North Carolina about 4 years ago and have really found a very comfortable home there. The volunteers that we work with are wonderful. The board that we work with is wonderful. Like I said, it's really a very much a volunteer-driven organization, and people are there because they have a passion to be there.
Which tends to make it feel a lot more honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I can see that. And what have you discovered since this new realm was opened up to you? Now, are you actually setting and establishing the standard for this development directing, or were you given some tools to work with in that regard?
Well, the good thing about being with a national organization like NAMI is that there are a lot of tools. We have an annual walk every year. It's called the NAMI Walk. Mm-hmm. And we just had our eighth walk May the 5th.
I was originally going to have you on before that came about, before things got in my way. But that took place here, right?
It took place on the beautiful, beautiful Dorothea Dix campus. We had just over 1,250 people there. And it's just a whole bunch of people
That's
coming together
incredible.
To... you know, break down stigma, to offer support to one another, to celebrate recovery, and the great work that NAMI and its volunteers do.
Fantastic. Just to go in a slightly different direction as far as Dorothea Dix itself goes, what's happening with that facility?
Well, there's a lot of different discussion going on about the Dix campus. Right now, there's only one unit open. It's the forensic unit, and that's the only place where patients are right now. They'll be moving the forensic unit back over to Central Regional Hospital in Butner. Central Regional is a beautiful state-of-the-art hospital that mm-hmm. offers, you know, a lot of really great services to the folks that are there. Unfortunately, it's a little far for a lot of our Wake County residents to drive. And so, you know, a lot of our advocates in Wake County have been pursuing to keep Dorothea Dix open, as well as invite new beds to be opened in the Wake County
area. What still remains at Dorothea Dix now?
Well, all the original buildings are there, and right now a lot of the state employees are working there. The Department of Aging is there. The Department of Child Services, I believe, is there. The overall administrative
offices.
But
a lot less for mental illness.
Oh, absolutely. It's really just become a state office kind of campus. Where
and a
lot
bit of
the
a park, right, as far as it's open to the public, right?
Well, they do have the large field, or the big field that we call it, which is where we had the walk. You find mm-hmm. a lot of people over there flying their
I hear it's quite beautiful.
Their helicopters. It is really a real gem for Wake County to have so much beautiful open space right in the middle of downtown Raleigh. There's some people that really want to turn it into kind of a destination park, like a central park. Mm-hmm. There's some individuals who think that, you know, there's not enough land to have houses, and so they want to turn it into, you know, a development.
Oh, I'm sure we've always got those guys, yeah.
There's people that want to do a lot of different things with it. What we're hoping is that anything that is done with the campus, it'll serve the state wisely, and it'll serve individuals with mental illness, so possibly mm-hmm. establishing some kind of foundation or some kind of trust where the money from the land will go into support the services. Dorothea Dix, as you might know, was really a renegade. The person, Dorothea Dix, was a renegade in changing the way that people thought about service delivery of individuals with mental illness. It used mm-hmm. to be, you know, people would have these insane asylums, and Dorothea Dix said, you know, this is not right. We need to really focus on the person rather than on the
Those
illness.
Those things have always given me the creeps.
Well, for good...
I mean, the whole idea of insane asylums.
Oh, absolutely.
That whole concept. I used to live... I became quite aware of Dorothea Dix because I used to live on Cutler Street, mm-hmm. sort of between Dorothea Dix and, of course, the prison.
Right.
Whatever you do, don't climb that fence. That ain't where you want to take your walk.
But it really is. It's a beautiful place. We've had the walk there for, this was our fourth or fifth walk on the Dorothea Dix campus. And every time I go there, I am just awed and inspired by the peacefulness that I get mm-hmm. and just the celebration. I mean, it seems like it's just a phenomenal place for families and individuals to go just to kind of celebrate.
Interesting,
you know,
what it's
space.
Interesting what it's become, but sad that it's taken the mental service aspect out of it.
It really is sad because Dorothea, the hospital itself, really did a lot of really great work, and they're trying to spread that work.
Are you familiar with what brought about these changes? Was it purely economically driven, or
I certainly did not work at NAMI when this happened, and I'm not really sure exactly mm-hmm. what the whole order was, but it was quite a few years ago when the General Assembly was talking about allocating additional monies to kind of rebuild and restore some of the local hospitals. And for some reason, they decided that it would be best if they were to move the hospital over to Butner, where they have the prison and developmental disability services, et cetera. So move.
So interesting, they have a prison there as well, just like the one across Western Boulevard from Dorothea Dix now.
Right. And this is, I think, a federal prison.
Interesting.
And lots of people working out there, et cetera. So they moved the campus over to Butner and slowly but surely decided to close down the campus in Raleigh. But I don't think that they really anticipated as much backlash from the closing of the campus as they did. And so the right. hospital stayed open a little bit longer. And
I haven't spoken to anyone on that subject that is clear as to why what happened.
I didn't work with NAMI at that point in time.
Mm-hmm, I understand.
But, you know, I will say that NAMI advocates, regardless of which side you fall on in terms of having the hospital open or having the hospital closed, our main point is that we really want people to be able to access appropriate services
right.
when and where you need them. And so we're really working to establish new beds in the Wake County area. I don't know if you've been up on the news, but recently there's going to be, I think it's with Wake Med, they're opening up some additional beds. They're building a new hospital.
In the hospital itself?
Nearby the hospital.
I got you.
Holly Hill is recently opening up some new beds for older patients who are like geriatric patients. And just people are really trying to provide as many beds as possible to ensure mm-hmm. that the citizens of Wake County and surrounding areas have the help that they need.
Susan, if I may ask, where are you originally from, and how did you get into this world, this business?
Well, I'm originally from Michigan. I lived there for a long time, but like many of us in the Raleigh area, my dad worked for IBM, so he was moved down to the wonderful state of North Carolina, and I've lived in Raleigh since I was in elementary school.
I think we got a lot of the IBMers. I've been moved.
Absolutely,
yes.
Claudia.
So I actually went to school up at Appalachian State University and initially went there to become a teacher, decided I really liked talking to people and went into broadcasting and thought that I might do some documentary films or photography or things like that.
And of course you're married to a gentleman that
met this great guy and decided that one of us had to have an honest job.
Or a practical one.
Or a practical one. So while he was building his career as a video producer, I started working in the nonprofit sector as a volunteer, doing video and doing photography. Enjoyed it so much that I decided that I wanted to do it full time and just started doing different jobs with different nonprofits.
Well, on that note, why don't you crank us a tune there? We'll take Absolutely. A little relaxation pause here.
Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. Heard at 103.5 Community Radio, WCOM. Thank you. It's about 15 minutes now past the hour. WCOM, fun, fresh, live and local, the way radio used to be. We're community radio serving Carrboro and Chapel Hill, and you can also listen to us online at WCOMFM.org. Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater coming right up after this important message.
Imagine a friend has just told you they were diagnosed with a mental illness. What would you do? Awkward, isn't it? But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for them, they'll be less likely to recover. Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. To learn more, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now back to Claudio.
And we're here with Susan King-Cope, who's the Director of Development and Special Events for NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. You can consider today's show very much geared as a community service in that direction. I think that that little ad we just heard was pretty revealing in and of itself. I'd like to kind of go in the direction of discussing the prevalence of mental illness in our society, which I'm sure you're becoming more and more aware of in the field of your endeavor.
Well, it's very interesting, Claudia, because that ad was absolutely perfect. A lot of us, we know people with mental illness, and the first thing that a lot of people do when one of their friends, their loved ones, or a colleague has been diagnosed with a mental illness is that they immediately kind of give them space. And that's not necessarily what an individual needs. They need to be, really comforted and, need to have the phone calls.
Drawn closer rather than
pushing people away and giving them the space. And so that's really one of the beautiful things about NAMI is that we offer a lot of free support groups and educational programs to families as well as individuals who are living with an illness. And it really teaches people how to be there for somebody and offers just those free supports that any psychiatrist or therapist cannot offer.
I can see that. I think, not to defend us pulling ourselves away from these perceptions in people, especially when this mental illness really begins to take root in different people. I have a stepfather who's slipping into Parkinson's. But I can understand to a great extent that this reserve that a lot of us have, and in as much as withdrawing a little bit from that person and trying to give them in some sense more freedom, I think it has more to do with the fact that we feel unqualified to truly advise or be there for them. And I think somehow that's a barrier we need to eliminate and just be there, be as human as we can about the situation and sort of learn as we go.
Absolutely. And it is awkward if you've, had a friend who's been very healthy for, the time that you've known them.
Right.
And then they slip into a depression. It is really awkward. You don't really know what to say to the person because it really is. It's almost like a person who wears two different hats or two different faces. When somebody does slip into psychosis or into their illness, they are a very different person.
It's not so much a depression, and I'm sure that lies with it. I've known people who are very conscious, very clear, very crisp in their thinking that, as they grew older, you could have this amazing conversation with them, and 5 minutes later they wouldn't remember the conversation. So.
Absolutely. And a lot of times you don't really necessarily know where the conversation is coming from. Some of our most brilliant-minded people have a mental illness, as well as a lot of people with very creative minds have mental illness. I mean, if you think about just the movies that have been written by people, John Nash, which A Beautiful Mind was written about. It was
right.
A mathematician who won the Nobel Peace Prize. We know that people like Vincent van Gogh, who was, really a beautiful artist, and a lot of his passion was from his depression that he had.
No doubt. And I think much of that depression was economically derived.
Absolutely.
Ironic that his work should now be selling for in the millions and weren't able to feed him when he was alive.
Absolutely.
Strange irony in that.
Poets like Sylvia Plath, which I'm sure that you're very familiar with in your history, and even people that we wouldn't necessarily think of as having depression, Beethoven.
What is it they say about poets? A poet's life is his death?
Absolutely.
Susan and Claudio, I'm always amazed at how this genius shows up so early. In children, you can see someone playing the piano. just like a seasoned concert pianist, and it's amazing.
And it really doesn't always dissipate. I mean, some of them maintain it for a lifetime, but there are those that genius on during one part of their life, and then it's sliding away for the rest.
Well, and it's that whole spectrum of whether or not the person can get the help and the support that they need to really nurture their creativity, or if it gets out of hand and it slips into psychosis or even deeper depression. My husband actually had a roommate who was a brilliant artist when he was in college, and he would go weeks or days without sleep and would just paint for a long period of time, and then he would just sleep for a long period of time. But he was just absolutely brilliant in the artwork that he did, and Tony always found lots of inspiration from his roommate, and he's doing brilliantly now. So lives in California and is just doing great. So
I've long been inspired by someone with whom I actually have a personal friendship with, and that's the author Ray Bradbury. And it's amazing to me, he's in his late 80s now, tapping 90, and he's still a very conscious mind. He's still publishing books now. I have no idea if he is slipping into any kind of mental fatigue or not, but his thinking process, which was always quite challenging with the stories he wrote some for The Twilight Zone, but just his own writings, they require a lot of psychological analysis, and he's still there. Even at this age.
Absolutely.
So some folks get to keep it, but not everyone.
That is true. And, we always say everybody knows somebody with mental illness, and you might not necessarily realize, because like a lot of illnesses, there's different spectrums of an illness. We like to say that, about 4% of individuals will experience some type of mental health crisis in any given year. But we know that more than that actually have systemic mental illnesses, that they may be well into recovery one year and they may slip the next.
And so, on a much smaller scale, on a much more average scale, any one of us can have a nervous breakdown or fall into psychological aspects that due to panic or due to frustration, due to...
Absolutely. And that's what a lot of people ask me. Well, how do you get a mental illness, or how, why do people have a mental illness? And a lot of it is genetic. We find that a lot of family members will pass down their illness to their children. Hmm. A lot of it is trauma, either mental trauma or like the death of a loved one, losing your job, getting into a serious car accident. There could be head trauma, or trauma going off to war, or experiencing some type of...
I personally could not imagine surviving going off to war, even if I came back whole. The atrocities and the horrors of that element, I know I couldn't deal with.
Absolutely, I don't think I could either. And then also, a lot of drugs can manipulate the chemistry that your brain has and cause different types of illnesses.
And even when it comes to that, you're talking about medications there.
Right.
Yeah. And doctors don't always really know the fruits of what they're prescribing. And also, it's not just in one sense the doctor prescribing something, but it's also in the way that the patient uses what is prescribed.
Absolutely.
So things can easily take you over the edge.
Very much so. So we at NAMI, what we basically try to do is just welcome in anybody who has an illness and just give them as many supports as we can. We offer a lot of classes for families. And that's really how NAMI started, was being a family support, because moms and dads would find out that their adult child had a mental illness. They'd go to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I don't understand, why my son is behaving awkwardly, or my daughter is all of a sudden, fallen off the face of the earth. What's going on?" And they, a lot of doctors back in the 50s and 60s would just kind of look at them in puzzlement and say, "Well, it was the way that you raised your child." And of course, we know that it has nothing to do with the way that many of our family members have raised their child. It has to do with the brain's chemistry and the chemical imbalances in the brain, not the parenting.
I would think that the environment does play maybe a limited role.
Oh, absolutely. But to have, all these parents across the country and having doctors blame it on, a mom who coddled their son too much, or, didn't make their daughter clean up the room or do the ironing, silly things like that wouldn't necessarily cause a child to...
Right. Of course, there are many other aspects that also qualify as mental illnesses that can come from somebody prevailing over someone to where they're so consuming that they don't allow this child to have a life of its own.
Oh, absolutely. That does happen. Yeah. But for the most part, it's genetically driven.
Have you had any personal experience, or maybe one or two that you can convey or relate?
Well, you know, when I first of all started working at NAMI, people were asking me, well, what's your connection to mental illness? And at first, I didn't really even realize that I had any connections. But since then, I've learned that several family members have mental illness. And I myself can go through periodic stages of depression. I don't have a serious mental illness, which is what people at NAMI tend to think of as a mental illness. But there are days when I can't concentrate. I can't focus. I feel like I just need to go to sleep and recharge my batteries.
Well, on some level, that's a natural state, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, you hear about the baby blues or, you know, people that just have short-term seasonal disorder or things like that. So I consider all those to be mental disorders, but not necessarily a mental illness.
And right, nothing that need permeate.
Exactly.
Interesting. Well, I think we need to get a little more music. This is a rather deep and heavy subject, and I think we're going to need a few breathers with musical interruptions.
How about this station promo first, Claudio, and then a little
Absolutely.
Music? Do what you can to help support WCOM Radio. In Carrboro, you can make a cash donation to the station in one of our marked containers located at Cliff's Meat Market, the Carrboro Beverage Company, Southern Rail Restaurant, Sid's Military Surplus Store, Anna's Alterations and Tailoring in Carmel Mall, and also here at our studio at 208 East Main Street. Remember, WCOM is your voice in our community.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOM LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Thank you.
Your time is important. That's why we thank you for taking us along with you. We're WCOM Community Radio. Now back to Claudio.
And you are tuned into Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCOM 103.5 FM. We have Susan King Cope at the helm here. I realize that today is not a show that leaves a lot of room for spontaneous comedy, as so many of these shows do, but I think this is certainly a serious subject matter to broach and to give some play. So if you feel we are lacking a sense of humor here today, please pardon that, but I really, really feel strongly that a lot of this mental illness needs to be brought more into the open and seen really as a result of it being here, as a result of it being something that we do have to deal with in people. We need to find a way to make it more the norm and accept it more on a human level.
Absolutely.
I would imagine you have some personal experiences with this, perhaps someone that touched you in some way that in NAMI itself, I'd love to hear you convey.
Well, we meet so many people at NAMI, and being the walk manager, where we have this beautiful walk every year, I meet so many different people who just really find a lot of inspiration in being able to come together in the walk.
And no doubt.
There's this one guy that I am initially thinking of that really kind of, he's just so special to me, and I don't even think he knows how special and how much I respect him for the individual that he is, but he came to the very first walk that I was at, and he was really quiet and didn't really say anything, and he was just checking it out because he didn't really know what to expect and wasn't really keen on attending the walk, but somebody said that he should attend the walk, and he just wanted to figure out what it was all about.
Did he have a mental illness?
He does have a mental illness, yes. And the next year, he decided that he was going to get more engaged and started talking about NAMI and started talking about different things, talked about his own illness, and he raised a lot of money for NAMI. And the next year, I asked him if he would be part of our video. My husband always does a walk video. And
Tell us about your husband's company, please.
Well, I'll tell that in a minute, but okay. He does this walk video for us every year, and he asked Anthony if he would talk about his illness a little bit. So Anthony talks about his illness. He talks about how he never would have been able to talk about his illness, get in front of people, really share anything. And now he's going out and he sits on the state CFAC. He's on the NAMI North Carolina Board of Directors.
My goodness.
He shares his story with a lot of different people, whether it be from the faith community, from, you know, Kiwanis clubs, church groups, that kind of thing. And he has just really grown and blossomed into being just a really great spokesperson, all in a matter of 3 years.
That's amazing. What is his mental illness?
I'm not sure what Anthony's mental illness is. We don't really talk too much about what different people's illnesses are because we like to think of the person first.
Sure, absolutely. And I wasn't even trying to alter that aspect. I was just wondering what had him in the system.
But he's just, he's a beautifully remarkable person. And every time I talk with him, I just want to, you know, hug him because he just has such a positive outlook, and he's had a really difficult life.
Maybe we'll have you bring him on the show sometime.
I would love to do that. We've got people who are, you know, finishing up their graduate degrees. We've got people who have been in prison that are now out of prison, and there's just a lot of individuals who, you know, have really turned their lives around and have really made lemonade out of very, very sour lemons. And so I feel very, very fortunate to be able to be part of such a wonderful organization just because there are so many positive people and people who are willing to give of their time, of their money, of their resources to ensure that more families and more individuals are able to get the supports that NAMI offers.
It certainly has true nobility in it, doesn't it?
You know, they always say that, you know, when you give a little piece of yourself, you're establishing a legacy. And as far as I'm concerned, some of these folks are going to live forever because they are just some of the most generous people I've ever met in my life. So
I
feel very, very fortunate to be a part of that. This year's walk, I actually got to meet a couple of other people that I wouldn't have had a chance to meet, a couple people whose mother was actually diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And they the kids have all kind of formed a team, and they met together to raise awareness about their mom's illness, and mom was right there as part of the team, very supportive, and you know, it's just kind of, it's a nice rallying effect to bring families together in support of one another. So I think that our walk is, while it's a fundraiser and it's a community awareness builder, it's also a huge celebration for folks and an awareness builder around recovery, that recovery is possible, that you don't have to live, you know, in the shadows of your illness, that you can come out, you can be a person, and you can be on this scope of recovery.
I think it puts it much more, as we were talking in opening this part of the show, it puts it much more on a human level and makes it the norm for what these people go through. And we just have to find it, we just have to find that aspect of ourselves by which to relate to it and to somehow make it a part of our lives.
Absolutely.
Even though we may not be suffering the same thing, there's a way to sort of indoctrinate that this is the norm around me. Let me find my way to be real in it.
Right. And one of the things that we also do is we try to encourage people, all family members, to participate in the walk. And that's actually what I did this year. For the first time, I invited my husband to be part of my personal walk team.
All right.
And Tony did a great job. He reached out to a lot of his colleagues, a lot of his business partners, and he said, this is something that's really important to me, both on a personal level and on a professional level. And while videotaping the walk, again, he actually put a challenge in. And he said, anybody that donates, or if I can raise so much money, I will do the walk backwards. And so he actually walked backwards, videotaping the walk this year. And he was really a trooper, because it is a long ways to carry a heavy camera and walk backwards and interview people. So
having worked in that capacity, I can fully appreciate that, the audiovisual business. Tell us about your husband's company.
Well, he is one of the business partners at Myriad Media Designs, which is located in downtown Raleigh on Glenwood Avenue.
I would not be surprised if him and I have actually met, because I was in the AV business for a number of years, and I'm sure we crossed paths somewhere, because Myriad Media Designs rings a very strong bell to me.
Well, they're a great group of people, and Tony stays younger by the day because they hire all these young college graduates who are just budding with ideas and blossoming with new ways of marketing. And I just couldn't be prouder of both Will and Tony and all the folks that work over there at Myriad. They've just done a really great job.
And they do all kinds of media? Are they limited, or what's
they do all kinds. They primarily do video. Mm-hmm. But they'll do video for the web. They'll do video for, they've done music videos. They've done documentaries. They've done corporate videos. They do the United Way PSAs.
Give us the contact information, and then also give contact information for NAMI.
Well, my husband, you can reach Tony at area code 919. I can't remember his office number.
Uh-oh.
His personal phone number. Everybody call my husband right now.
That's right.
332-3891. Or you can go to his website, which is myriadmedia.net. If you want to call me, you can call me over at the NAMI North Carolina office, which is 919-788-0801. If you want to talk to somebody who really knows something about community resources, you can talk to Gloria Harrison. She's our helpline manager, and she knows everything there is to know about community resources with NAMI. And
is there a website for that as well?
We do. It's www.namiNC.org.
And of course, that is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. That's what NAMI means.
Absolutely.
Good. I wanted to get that out there at least once during the run of the show.
Well, I appreciate that. We get tied up telling stories and...
Yes, indeed. And I think we need more music. What do you think, Rocco?
Sounds good to me, Claudio. Now there's Chapel Hill Carborough Community Radio for the news you need and the music you love. And Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater right here at WCOM.
Jen, last week I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
You just need some new earrings and you'll feel a lot better.
When a friend tells you they've been diagnosed with a mental illness, it can be a little awkward. But what's even more awkward is, if you're not there for her, she'll be less likely to recover.
Jen, last week I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Girl, I'm here for you.
Mental illness. What a difference a friend makes. To learn more, go to whatadifference.org. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WCOM. Now back to Claudio.
That goes right in keeping with the very thing we were talking about, how to be a friend, how to make it more a part of our norm, deal with it as it comes along, be there for that person instead of trying to change the conversation or the subject.
Absolutely.
I thought you might connect with that, hearing that.
I always do connect with folks when they try to help one another because... I think it's one of the things that gets a lot of people through their lives. And I wonder how many people like, we see so many individuals who are in such deep depression and they don't know how to get out of it. There's so many kids right now that are committing suicide.
Oh, Lord,
so the suicide rates have gone up tremendously, particularly around the young audiences. And I just think just having a friend there is just so important. One of the things that we've just recently launched is having a text line for teenagers where people can text in their problems or their issues to a trained person and really help them talk through their issues and talk through what they might be feeling. So NAMI's really changing with the times also. Instead of just having a talk line, we also
Fantastic.
Have this text line. So
growing with what's going on.
Absolutely.
I think we'll take a little more music, and then I'm going to come back and do a recital of one of my own pieces about friendship.
The world of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LPFM.
Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, heard at 103.5 Community Radio, WCOM. Now Claudio's Literary Moment.
This is for Wherever the Road Takes Us in Friendship, a piece I wrote some years ago, and I think it applies to the subject matter today. It's called Pilgrims on the Pathway. Strong is the spirit that knows its own light, obscuring the wrong from the path of the right, like the eyes of an owl ever piercing the night, and rejoicing in life as it dances in flight. We are all shepherds and we are all sheep, some of us waking while some of us sleep. And lost in the moment when the child is awake, we reap of the laughter only friends may partake. To live in the heart without limit by time is the gift of a friendship such as yours and as mine. Like the touch of the healer upon wounds unseen, ours is the childhood that follows the dream. We are the pilgrims upon the path of the soul, redeemed from the fragments as we strive to be whole. And we'll follow the rivers, the pathways and trends to the ocean of reaping, of the laughter, of friends.
WCOM at 103.5 FM, community radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and also a station that extends online where you can hear us at WCOMFM.org. We've been listening to music performed by Les and Larry Elgart this morning.
And we're back here in the studio with Susan King Cope, Director of Development and Special Events for NAMI, the National Alliance of Mental Illness. How about giving us that contact information one more time, because we're bringing the show to a wrap in the next 4 minutes?
Sure. You can reach us at www.naminc.org. That's NAMINC.org.
And give us a little scoop about what this walk is.
Well, our walk is an annual walk, and we hold it usually the first week of May on the beautiful Dorothea Dix campus.
And the idea is to invite both the people that have mental illnesses as well as just whoever wants to come to join in the walk.
It's a free walk. We don't charge anything for it. And it's really a community awareness event where we try to get as many people to come out and not only support our walkers, but just have a great family event. We usually have bounce houses and face painting, food, fun, music.
Wonderful.
Just a great time to come out and hang out with your family and learn a little something about what it's like to live with a mental illness and support those individuals that have a mental illness.
It sounded like more than just a walk in the park. That's why I thought I'd ask. Do you have any businesses or corporations that help sponsor this to put some money on the table?
Sure. We got about $40,000 worth of sponsorships.
Fantastic.
This year. A lot of them from local pharmaceutical companies, but also a lot from just community supporters. Jason's Deli's been a great supporter. Whole Foods. Lots of other community of supporters that really just want to support an organization that really helps out in the community, and we'll take any kinds of donations that people want to give
absolutely.
Us.
It's very encouraging to hear that you're getting this kind of support, but
absolutely.
It could certainly use an increase, I'm sure.
Oh, we are not turning around any money or turning down any money for that matter. So
whether it's a dollar or 50, that's right. Anything you want to say in closing? We want to sum it up in your own way, and in the end, give us that contact information again, because we've got about two and a half minutes left.
Absolutely. Well, we know we've heard on the PSAs that it's difficult to maybe talk with a friend that might have a mental illness, but really the whole thing that NAMI's trying to do, and the reason why I'm here, is to raise awareness to let folks know that that mental illness is around. You may know somebody with a mental illness, and that the best thing that you can do is to be there for them. It's nothing that they cause themselves. It's just something that has happened. And having the support and the resources out there can make the difference in a friend's life and a family member's life.
Absolutely.
And if you want more information about how you can be engaged in changing the lives of an individual with a mental illness, you can call our office at 919-788-0801. Or you can go online to www.nami.nc. Don't forget the NC part.
That's
NIMINC.org. And we also have volunteer forms, donation forms, and membership forms if you want to become a member or offer a donation to a great cause.
Fantastic. Well, I congratulate you for being a part of this noble enterprise. It's certainly something that touches the heart, and I'm sure there are probably going to be some pretty unique stories we'll tell sometime in the future. Now that you've been on the Speakeasy once, you're part of the family, so plan on coming back at some
point. Susan, it's a pleasure meeting you.
Well, thank you for having me on and raising a little bit of awareness about a cause that affects so many individuals and families. I really appreciate it.
And to everyone listening out there, the show should be podcast within a couple of days and be available worldwide. We have a pretty international audience base that goes to the podcast, so I want to make sure not to lose those. Again, this should be up in a couple of days. I want to thank everybody for tuning us in. On behalf of Rocco, Susan, and myself here on Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. Until next time, cheers.